Blog Talk Radio.
Coworkers and readers, people that read.
if you'll go on Amazon and look up all my books, I write everything from inspiration to true crime to crime fiction to comedy to horror, you name it, I write it, except for porn. I don't write porn, don't like porn, don't like romance. Look up Yvonne Mason, and all of my books are there. They're all on Kindle. If you know somebody's got a Kindle, you can get them a gift card they can download on Kindle. Also on Nook, also at Barnes & Noble. But the most interesting news that I have is on December the 21st at 8 o'clock, I have a gentleman that I've been trying to get on my show for a long, long time. And if you know the name Rambo First Blood, then you will know who I'm talking about. The gentleman is an author, and his name is David Morrell. And he has written a trilogy of books that have the character Thomas De Quincey in them. Thomas De Quincey was a real person that lived in England in 1855. These books are absolutely amazing. You cannot put them down. So join us on December the 21st at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time when I will be interviewing author David Morrell. Now, that being said, tonight's show, if you want to call in and talk with my guest, the call-in number is 516-387-1756. My guest tonight is comedian Kenny Eckenberg. Now, Kenny was born and raised in Lake City, Florida, which is west of me, and he has been a resident of Lake City for over 29 years. He's also a graduate of Columbia High School. He has a strong passion for filming, watching movies, writing, and performing stand-up comedy, as well as meeting new people. Started performing his stand-up comedy in 2014, but he's been writing comedy since he created Toasted Comedy in 2008 with his business partner, Chris Bolin. He also did host a weekly trending hashtag game on Twitter called Hashtags and Toast at Toasted Kenny D. He does not do that anymore. He has had an interest in filmmaking since he was in high school and is an avid horror fan, and he recently performed in a local scare house, Infinity Con Presents Monsters and Mayhem, The Legend of Lucas Kane, as the titular character Lucas Kane. Most recently, he started a YouTube channel under the Toasted Comedy brand, where he and like-minded comedian friends write and film scripted and improv sketch comedy videos. Kenny's long-term goal is to write comedy for television and movies, but for the time being, he will continue to share his work on stage and on the internet. Now, I can't wait to talk to this young man. How are you, Kenny? Welcome for coming on the show tonight. I so appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. You know, I'm really liking radio because it is one of the few things in my life that I get to do where I don't have to change out of my pajamas.
I understand that. Yeah. Many of my shows I do in my pajamas. I love it. It would be really bad if we did radio via video. I would scare a lot of people this time of night, I'm going to tell you.
Me personally, I don't want to give anybody nightmares. They can come see me on stage if they like to have a nightmare, but no.
Well, speaking
but
it's
great being here with you.
Well, thank you. Speaking of your craft, and it's multi-talented, I'm going to tell you, I'm envious. How did you get started in this? Because before the show, we were chatting a bit. And apparently, this was not something that you started as a wee child. You told me you were a very shy young man.
Oh yeah, I was very shy. It wasn't something that I knew I wanted to do right away. I didn't even know I was funny until I was well into my 20s. When I was a kid, I was shy, but after. I got out and started working. I had to get out of the shyness. I worked in the call center for quite a few years, which forced me to talk to strangers that I didn't know. And doing that kind of work, you definitely develop a sense of humor. And
well, yeah,
I'll just be talking to my coworkers. Oh, go ahead, ma'am.
No, you go ahead. You're talking to your coworkers.
Yeah, I'd be talking to my coworkers, and they'd be like, "Wow, you're funny. You should like do stand-up comedy." And I never really thought about it then, but me and Chris Boland, who was working together at the time, we would just sit around and we'd write little scripts and everything, stuff we want to do, like a little animated series we always talked about doing, which was about working in a call center for Toaster tech support. And that script was called Toasted. And then the more I got involved in comedy, I was like, I really need a brand. So I took Toasted from being just that script to being this whole thing all on its own.
So do you get, well, let me back up a little bit. When you were a wee lad, as we Irish like to say, what was your dream? What did you think you wanted to do? Even as shy as you were, what did you think you wanted to do with the rest of your life?
Well, at the time, I was actually interested in law. Like, I wanted to be a lawyer or an attorney, even a cop or, like, a CSI investigator. It just all intrigued me back then. But I kind of grew out of that and got more involved with comedy.
What made you change your mind?
Just the fact that when I was fresh out of high school, I didn't have time to go to college. I was wanting to go to college to do this stuff. But my mom had gotten really sick and was in the hospital for like 3 months. And then she had to move to Tennessee. And around that time, she was like she was the breadwinner for the family. And after that, I had to kind of step up and get out there and make money working multiple jobs, just trying to make sure I kept my house and kept a place to live. And my dad, he had left to go up to Tennessee with her. Then eventually he came back. But I was just having to work and was so busy working that I never had got a chance to go to college.
So would it be fair to say, Kenny, that you had a dream, but that, and you were going to take a path to take you to fulfill that dream, but yet you didn't fail, but the dream changed?
Yeah, that's fair to say. The dream definitely changed. And I'm happy that I found comedy because it's something that makes me happy to do. The fact that I can do something, even if I take a risk of looking like a goof myself, in the end, if I put a smile on someone's face, it makes me happy.
So let me ask you this, and I've seen comics for years. I remember watching vaudeville, and vaudeville was very hard to do because not only did you have to be a comedian, but you had to do stupid and insane things to get a laugh from the audience. Would it also be fair to say that if one is not dedicated to being a comedian, one should not even get into it because it can be, and it is, a very brutal profession to be in?
I think comedy is one of those things that if you feel you have it in you, give it a try. The worst that could happen is that they either laugh with you or laugh at you. If you think you have what it takes to be a comedian, give it a try. There's no harm in trying.
Would it also be fair to say that most comedians get their material from things that happen within their own life?
Oh yeah, that's definitely fair to say. For me, I take a lot of my stuff from my family, work experience, life experience, my love life, just various different aspects.
Did you get a lot of your or some of your material, you said you worked at a call center, which in itself is a comedic routine at times because of the thousands of telephone calls you make, you get people from all walks of life. So would it be fair to say that some of that material came out of the call center?
That would definitely be the case for some of my jokes. And then I try to do jokes about my family. Some of the things I kind of shy away from is like religion and politics, which is something that may ruin me as a comedian because that seems to be like the hot trend today with politics. But the thing with politics is that it just confuses me. I don't understand politics at all. There was a time in my life I thought I was getting to where I understood politics, and then the 2016 election came by, and it just blew that out of the water for me.
Honey, don't feel bad.
Again.
Don't feel bad. Even the politicians don't understand politics. So you're not alone in this. And think of politics as a body of water that has a tsunami effect. And whichever way the wind is blowing that particular day, that's the way the politics is going to go. And politics is nothing but a melting pot of you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You know, I go into Joe Blow's office because I need something from Joe Blow. I need to have something happen. Well, I go into Joe Blow's office and I sit down and we have a conversation. And Joe Blow says, "Yes, Yvonne, I'll be happy to do that for you. But just remember, down the road a piece, I'm going to need a favor." Now, I can do one of two things. I can either try to make my project happen on my own, or I can take Joe Blow's help and then owe him something down the road, but that something I owe him may not be something I really want to do. But I won't know until it happens.
Yeah, so basically it's like dealing with politicians. Might as well be dealing with the mafia.
There you go. See, you do understand it, Kenny. See, now you got a routine. Just think, Dillinger and Babyface Floyd, you got politics.
Yep.
So, and you stay, what else do you stay away from?
Pretty much just things that are people argue about a lot. You know, politics, religion, sports.
Oh, I could give you lots of good material for sports. Sports is one of the funniest things in the world. You got grown men making millions of dollars running up and down a 100-yard field, killing each other over a piece of pigskin. That's funny stuff.
I mean, definitely. And if I could do sports, I'd do it. I'm allergic to broken bones. And it gives me a great deal of pain.
Yeah, and I'm not into pain. I am not into pain. Well, okay. Give us something that you would do if you were on stage. Tell us some of the things that you would talk about. I know you said family and work and your love life. So give the audience a little bit of your shtick, as they call it.
Oh, geez, now you're really putting me on the spot here because I don't know if any of it's really appropriate for the radio.
Why? We're off the chain, Kenny. Anything happens on this show. Don't you know that by now? We talk about anything and everything. What are they going to do, ban me? I don't think so. This isn't monitored by the FCC, so we don't have to worry about it.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. Now, you see, to me, some of the things I'll talk about, like, to me, performing stand-up comedy is a lot like having sex. If the recipient is into it, they'll be enjoying themselves. They'd want you to keep going. But if you're terrible at it, they'll just leave the room and you'll be left to laugh at your own jokes. Or as I like to call it, masturbation.
I like that. That is good. That is really good.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be here for another 40 minutes. Let me ask you this. You, in your bio, talk about filming. Do you actually direct, produce, film. What does filming entail for you?
Well, the main thing that I'm working on right now, and this really ties into my YouTube stuff. I put in a lot of effort coming up with the material. Like, not a lot of it is scripted. Most of it is improv. I just have fun being able to just sit there and tell people my vision and just see it come to life. Like, the people that I work with. I worked a little bit on a film crew for a movie that in the end it never really materialized. There's some things that got held up. But it was fun. I learned a lot about what it takes to make films. I worked doing sound. I was the boom mic operator. And then I did many, many other things on set. And that's one of the things that I want to do. I want to learn how to do as much as possible, because the more you're able to do, the more you know how to do, the more you'll be able to do in the long run. So the more opportunities you'd have to find a job in that industry.
Have you reached out to directors, producers, people in the industry to offer to come, even if you have to work as an apprentice? Have you reached out to them?
No, I haven't. I haven't really. I've been more focused on just trying to build my own things right now, and eventually be able to go to school to be able to learn things better before I take that jump.
Why do you have a strong passion for filming? Because, again, like comedy, that is another industry that can be brutal.
Well, it's just when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time watching movies, and I was always interested in the process, seeing how they do stuff, learning all the secrets, because to me, it was kind of like magic. I was just so fascinated about it, and I wanted to learn everything. Like, I see people driving in a car, and I was like, wow, how did they film that? Or you'd see the special effects, and I'm like, how did they achieve that? Like, I knew it wasn't real, but I knew that there was some magic to it, and I just wanted to learn. I was really inspired by people like Quentin Tarantino and Martin Scorsese. Those are some of my top favorite directors.
They do some wicked films, too. Some of them I can't even watch because they are so brutal.
But it's something that I dabble in. I have a friend that's she's far more into it, and I try to help her out as much as possible. But one way or another, we're gonna make it doing something within the entertainment industry. That's something we set our minds on a long time ago.
Well, let me ask you this. What is the local Scarehouse Infinity Con Presents? You performed in that. Do you do that every year, or was that a one-time thing?
Well, this was the first year. I have a friend. His name's David Herringer.
Uh-huh.
And he runs a local convention called InfinityCon.
Uh-huh.
And what he's trying to do is bring things to Lake City, like a small town that they would usually have to travel out of town to see. And he decided to do a Scarehouse this year, the legend of Lucius Kane. And he knew I was a big horror buff, and he just decided that, oh, Ken likes this. Let me offer him this row, and I'm pretty sure he'll have fun with it. And I did.
Was it put on film to be loaded up to YouTube? Could someone go and look at it if they chose to?
I believe it is on there somewhere. I haven't been able to locate it myself, but it's on there somewhere. I've always had a big passion for horror and Halloween, because in my mind, especially Halloween. In my mind, Halloween is like my last peaceful moment before all the chaos begins. Because then after Halloween, you have Thanksgiving. And when I was younger, Thanksgiving was like, in my mind, it was a time to spend time with your family and have a great time and be with your loved ones. But the older I got, the more I realized that Thanksgiving, yeah, it was a time to spend time with your family. But it was like the final moments that you got to spend time with your family, consuming a meal to build up your energy before you go into battle. And the battle I'm talking
Amen.
About is Black Friday.
I love it. We have a caller.
Right.
We have a caller that has called in to ask you a question. Hi, you're on the air. This is Yvonne with Kenny Eckenberg. Who is calling, please?
This here is Cousin Amos.
Hey, Cousin Amos, how are you?
I'm really good. I just want to ask you a comment.
I don't think I have a Cousin Amos. let's see what this guy's got to say.
I just want to ask you a question there, Mr. Right. Kennedy. So I keep hearing this fable about this thing called a unicorn skunk. You ever heard that thing?
Yeah, I've heard of the unicorn skunk. It's a famous cryptozoic creature that lives around our area. And we've made a few videos of it on our YouTube page. Like, a lot of people don't think it exists, but I believe it's out there.
I heard it makes good chili.
Any other questions? You hear it makes good chili?
So, yes, sir.
So you're a chili guy, huh?
I love myself some chili. I make everything
That's
with chili.
Good.
Well, I'm joining the show. You guys have a good night now. You hear?
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you, Amos. It was nice talking to you.
Good talking to y'all.
Bye-bye. Well, that was an interesting call.
That was certainly interesting. It's taking me a minute to recover from that guy. That was something else.
You never know on the show. That's why it's called Off the Chain.
Yep,
so,
anything can happen.
If that is true, and usually does. So you are like me, and that because Halloween is also my favorite holiday. I could do without Thanksgiving. I can do without the silly season because, like you, it after Halloween, it's like all of a sudden people have totally lost their minds.
Yeah, definitely. And like I was mentioning with Black Friday, it really brings out the worst in people. People become animals. And, I mean, if it means I can save myself from getting punched in the face or trampled, I'll pay full price for a TV. I have no problem doing that. I just try to avoid the Black Friday sales as much as possible.
Well, I see absolutely no sense in people stuffing themselves on Thursday and then going to kill themselves on Friday. I mean, if you want to commit suicide by shopping, just stay at home. Now we have another caller. Let's see who this is. This is also from your area.
All right.
Hello, caller. This is Yvonne and my guest, Kenny Eckenberg. Who am I talking with, please?
Hi, yes. Y'all are talking with Crystal.
Crystal, it's nice
Crystal,
to talk to you.
Hey, Crystal. How's it going?
Hi. Yes, I have a question for your guest.
All right. Ask away.
Kenny, when it comes to... when you did the haunted house. Are you there?
Right.
Okay. When you did the haunted house, like, okay, you make people scream when you're in there. Like, you make them scream because you scare them. So does
Quite
that give
bit.
You the same thrill as it does when you make people laugh?
Good question.
That is a really great question. And as a matter of fact, it did. Because no matter what I'm doing, if I'm setting out to do something to get a reaction out of people, I enjoy seeing their reaction. And I've seen people running over each other trying to get out of the scare house because it was when you're doing a scare house, it's important to set up like a lot of psychological stuff to get people scared, get them intimidated. That way when they go in for the big scare, it's always a good payoff.
And people do like to be scared, Crystal. I've seen it.
I've worked
haunted houses. They love to be scared. I've had people go through the haunted house, turn around and come back to the front and pay again to go through again, knowing they're going to get scared.
Well, That's why I was asking if he had the same thrill, because I know some people, actors and comedians, because I know you said you wanted to be an actor, they claim that they get the same type of thrill. And usually when somebody gets the same thrills, that's how you can tell that somebody's true and that's what they want.
Good
like
point.
When they go into
yeah,
a film.
It really is the thrill of just seeing the reactions, seeing how you can make people react different ways, whether you're scaring them, getting different reactions from your jokes. And the reactions really help you improve yourself also. Because if I tell a joke and I don't get a good reaction off of it, I'll go through, I'll tweak it. And since I'm in the early stages of my career, I'm able to go through and tweak what I have and just keep reworking it until I get the reaction that I'm looking for.
Well, you keep working at it, Kenny, and I'm going to go back to listen to your show. But y'all keep, Kenny, you just keep working at what you're working at. And I hope to see good things from you in the future.
All right. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you, Crystal, for calling. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Well, that's two calls. And you're doing very well answering their questions, because that was a very good question that Crystal had. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, a caller just called in by the name of Crystal, and she asked Kenny a very important question. And that question was, do you enjoy the thrill that you get out of scaring people in a haunted house as much as you get a thrill out of making people laugh? And Kenny, your answer to that question was what?
Absolutely. Like I was saying, everything I do is to get the reaction that I'm looking for. And if I have to rework it, no matter if it's the scares, no matter if it's the jokes, however much I need to rework it, I'll just keep pressing it until I get the reaction that I'm looking for.
Do you believe that people have to have a well-rounded set of emotions, as in happiness, and happiness in the moment is brought on by comedy, because comedy makes us laugh, which sets off endorphins, which makes us relaxed and makes us feel like all is right with the world, even if it's just in that moment. But we also have to be able to have the scare factor to keep us alert and on edge and cognizant of the things that go on around us.
Give me a moment here. I'm trying to exactly understand it. Can you kind of reword it for me?
Sure. What I'm asking is, do you believe that in order for human beings to be well-rounded, that they have to have both ends of the spectrum? They have to have that instant happiness, as in your stand-up comedy. They also have to be able to understand fear in order to stay alert in their lives. In other words, they have to hone those skills in order to be well-rounded.
I don't necessarily think so. I couldn't really tell you why, but I don't believe so.
Well, the reason I ask that is because we live in such a desensitized society now. When we watch scary movies, they're not scary to us anymore because it's thrown in our face all the time. When we watch movies
because
that are
they're expecting the scare to happen. And I understand that, because also when I was doing the scare house, there's quite a few times I busted out. I was expecting to scare people, and people were just they're just laughing at it. They thought it was fun.
Because they were expecting that moment in time. So on some level, we as human beings have become desensitized to emotion, because they expected you to jump out at them. But if you had waited until they passed and then jumped out at them, they would not have expected that. So then they would have been scared for the moment. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes, ma'am.
So, going back to your comedic routines, because we as a society have become desensitized to humor, to sadness, to fear, to being scared, to all these human emotions that we used to have, do you find that it's getting more and more difficult to create material that will make someone have a good old belly laugh?
Not really, because before I even deliver the material, I have people in my family who have pretty much no sense of humor, and I test it out on them, and if we can make them laugh, I know I have something that's golden.
All
but
right.
It just comes down to just figuring out what works and what doesn't work, because if you find something that works, even if they are desensitized to humor or to the jokes, if you have something that works, it usually makes them laugh. There's some people that you may not see them laugh. They may not give you a reaction, but they still come up to me and be like, you know, your stuff was really funny.
I just didn't laugh at it. Who knows why?
You know, some people you just don't get a reaction out of.
And that's
a
shame.
They don't display the emotion.
And again, I think it's because as a society we've disenfranchised ourselves into open emotion. We're afraid to laugh. We're afraid to cry. We're afraid to say we're scared. We're afraid to do anything except be robots. Now, that would be a good piece for your routine. People as robots because they forgot how to be emotional. Let me ask you this. Are you performing live anywhere now?
Not currently. Right now I am focusing more on my YouTube videos, writing comedy for that and trying to reach out to a broader audience over the internet.
If someone wanted to have you come and do live stand-up, would you be willing to do it?
Yeah, I would. I'd have no problem.
How would they get in contact with you? Would they do it on Facebook?
People get a hold of me on Facebook or Twitter. On Twitter, I am at Toasted Kimmy D. And on Facebook, all you'd have to do is look up my name, Kenny D. Eichenberg Comedy, or Comedian, and it'll pull me up, and I can be reached by either of those mediums.
So, how has your YouTube work broadened? In other words, do you have a large following? I know you're still wanting people to join this YouTube channel because the more you get, the funnier it's going to be. But how big of a following do you have now, and how can people go and find you on that YouTube channel?
Right now, I'm really just getting started. I haven't really reached out to too many people through YouTube yet. But I'm starting to. For every video that I do, it gets shared, and I slowly build my followers on YouTube. And if they wanted to look up my YouTube page and give it a subscribe, check out our videos, all they'd have to do is search Toasted Comedy, and it'll bring up a little icon with a little cartoon toast guy, and they'll be able to look at our videos and hopefully enjoy them.
How many have you got up there?
As much fun watching them as we did making them.
How many do you have up there?
Videos?
Mm-hmm.
Roughly 30.
Well
done.
Most of them center
around these hillbilly-type characters who their primary thing is trying to be successful in illicit businesses. And some of the characters that we have is my character. His name is Ray Bob Jr. And then I have my dad, which is played by my cousin John Powell. His name is Papa Ray, and he's definitely becoming a fan favorite. And then one of the characters we recently introduced, who you actually spoke with him moments ago, was Cousin Amos. That was actually one of my characters.
Then we have
other stuff. We're trying to branch out, do different type of things. I did one. It was like a little horror short that was kind of like a found footage type video, which a lot of people seem to enjoy.
So on your YouTube videos, do you write a complete comedy script that involves Cousin Amos and you and the character that plays Papa Ray? You do a scripted comedy routine?
We come up with the idea, and we come up with little points that we want to hit in the video. 90% of it is improv.
Okay, now for the audience who may or may not know the difference between improv and scripted, explain to them what that difference is.
Well, with the scripted, it's something that we wrote out, and we know what's going to happen. We know what our desired effect is, what we want. But with improv, anything can happen. And I feel with improv, we get the funnier moments because we're just spitballing back and forth, and it's hard telling what's, like, with our personalities combined, it's hard to tell what's going to come out of our mouth. So improv is definitely the funner way to do it.
So I could safely say that if you're doing this video and you have your bullet points and you make a statement and one of the other characters fires back with a reaction and another statement, and then another character fires back with a third statement, it winds up being a funny story, but you have no idea what's going to happen from one statement to the next. So you all of you within that one video have to be alert on your toes at all times, right?
Yeah, we all know where we want to begin, and we know where we want to end with the video, and we try to keep ourselves, like, centered between those two areas. That way we don't just get completely off track with what we're doing. And most of the time, whenever we're filming, we get it done in, like, one take. There's been a couple of them that we just had to reshoot. And most of the time, it was the more scripted ones.
So improv
is easier because it's just us getting to be us.
It's like a jam session with a bunch of musicians.
It really is.
Another example of improv would be when Cousin Amos called in and y'all did that little back and forth with each other. That was not scripted. Nobody knew who was on first or what was on second.
Honestly, I had no clue he was even going to call in. It caught me by surprise and just rolled with it.
And that's what improv is. So for the benefit of the audience, if someone wants to do comedy, is it harder for someone to do improv, or is it harder for someone to do something that's scripted? Or are they about the same?
It really varies upon the person and their personality. Some people are better with scripts. Me, personally, I'm better with just letting the words flow out of my mouth and see what happens.
So if someone came up to you and said, Kenny, I want you to go do this event over in Lake City, and we're going to be talking to a bunch, and I say this with love because my children are rednecks. I want you to go talk to this bunch of rednecks, and I just want you to go with it. Would you be okay doing redneck jokes? I mean, because rednecks, I'm from the South. I'm from Georgia. So when people do Southern jokes and talk about how backward we are and how slow we are, to me it's hysterical because I can relate to it.
Oh, yeah, I think it is too because, like, that's pretty much my family is rednecks and hillbillies. So... Like,
yeah, cause you
most
think,
of the time
you
when I'm doing a character, I'm just, like, imagining things that my certain members of my family would say, and I just go with it, and people seem to like it. I'm not going to lie. I'm, like, the character, half of the personality is just me because I'm a pretty good bit redneck. I'm like a rare mixture between redneck and a nerd. Or as I like to call it, being the nerd neck.
Hey, I like that. I've never heard that before. I like that. You said that your mother went back to Tennessee. Are your parents from Tennessee?
My parents are both originally from Michigan, two different parts of Michigan. And then
uh-huh.
they met here in they met each other here in Lake City, Florida. They both had family that was living down here. And, like, our families have been, like, pretty close friends for years. Like, my mom, she has a cousin who was, my uncle's girlfriend has a brother who was married to two different cousins on both sides of my family. So
okay, then. I understand that. See, that's perfect material.
I know.
I love it, and
yeah,
I understand.
Now you know where I get my inspiration.
I love it. Well, and also, in the South, especially in the Deep South, if we say bless your heart, it depends on the context of the conversation. It can either be in sympathy or it can be an insult. For instance,
oh yeah,
you know, look at her hair. Bless her heart. She doesn't know her be any better. She can't help herself. Isn't it horrible? Bless her heart, isn't it horrible? And people from the North have no idea what we're talking about.
That's why. Yeah, I know. That's the wonderful part about it.
Bless his heart. Because they think you're really being sympathetic when you really are being insulting.
Yep.
Only
now,
in the context. Go ahead, Annie.
Oh, well, when I want to talk about some of my comedic influences, because
yeah,
some of the stuff
absolutely.
I like to do and I want to work into more stuff is slapstick style comedy, like kind of things going back to the vaudeville and
yeah.
Like the old black and white stuff, Three Stooges. That was some of my favorite stuff when I was younger, and also was Chris Farley. What the first couple of times I seen Chris Farley in a movie, I was like, man, this guy is my hero. I want to be just like this guy. Like, I didn't even know I wanted to be a comedian. I just knew I wanted to be like Chris Farley, you know, minus the drugs and stuff. But,
yeah, he was hysterical.
And even him, he was good at the physical humor, like being able to, like, just throw himself through stuff and very, very slapstick. And maybe that's part of the reason I always liked him.
Who are your other influences?
Some of the other ones I listen to that inspire me a lot is people like Mitch Hedberg. And then I really enjoyed Bernie Mac and Steve Harvey. I remember seeing the original Kings of Comedy, which was Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, D.L. Hughley. And I was like, that was one of the things that it didn't make me want to be a comedian, but it was one of the ones I watched that was like, man, I really love watching stand-up comedy. And some of the newer ones I like is like Louis C.K., Jim Jeffries. The list goes on. I'm just a There's not very many stand-up comedians that I don't like.
What about
Ron White? I just
like
seeing what they're all doing. And,
what about
like
Ron
the,
White?
Like the blue-collar comedy guys,
yep.
Ron White.
Yep.
I really like Bill Engvall, you know, the Here's Your Sign guy.
Oh, I love Bill Engvall.
He's always
he's
always been one of my favorites.
One of my favorite lines from Ron White was the night he got thrown out of the bar, and he said that I had the right to remain silent, but I didn't have the ability.
Yeah.
To me, that's one of the funniest lines that he ever did, because he said it with such a straight face. I could just see him getting thrown out of that bar in New York.
I know, you can just picture it happen. And that's one of the things that you want to do as a comedian. You want to deliver a story, but you want them to picture it happening, because when they picture it in their mind, it makes it all the funnier.
Yeah, because you never forget it.
Exactly.
Now, we have about 5 minutes left, and I always ask my guests, because I find their input very interesting, if someone comes to you and says, Kenny, I have a dream. I'm a dreamer. I have this dream. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't care what the dream is. If it's a writer, if it's a musician, if it's a garbage collector, if it's a rocket scientist, whatever that dream is that you have, number one, you're never too old to go after that dream. And number two, sometimes the dreams change and you take a different path and you wind up being where you're supposed to be to begin with. Doesn't mean you failed, you just took a different path. But say someone comes up to you, Kenny, and says, I have a dream. What do I need to do? What can you help me, or what advice can you give me that would help me understand how to make my dream come true? So what would you tell a person?
Well, I guess I'll start off by telling them, you may say you're a dreamer, but you're not the only one. I just felt it was a perfect John Lennon moment. But
that was.
I was
that was
them,
a perfect
if they have a dream, if they have a dream, go for it. I grew up here in my family. I had people in my family wanting to be so many things. I had an aunt who had made a great artist, but people kept shooting down, like people in her family kept shooting down the idea, and she never had the confidence to go do it. No one ever built up the confidence in her to achieve being a cartoonist or being an artist. If you have a dream, no matter what they say, if you feel that you can live up to that dream, give it a try. And you may fail the first couple of times. Just keep going for it. Keep reworking what you're doing until you have something that hits with your audience. If you wanna do comedy, do art, just practice, and just go for it.
Well, and just like in your aunt's case, ladies and gentlemen, I learned the hard way. And I tell my granddaughter this all the time, who is waiting on her ASVAB test results, because she will be the first female in the Army. She will be Army strong. But there have been bullies within her school who have tried to shoot her dream down. And what I tell her is this: no one can steal your dream without your permission. And she does not give them permission to steal her dream, because that is her dream. Nobody else is entitled to it. They have their own dreams. So if you have a dream, and I wish, God love your aunt, I wish she had fulfilled her dream. Because at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, and at the end of our life, and people ask us, do you live with regret, or do you have any regret, or is there something you wish you had done? And you look back and you say, well, I wish I'd done this, I wish I'd done that, I hate I didn't do this. It's too late. You can't do it then, right, Kenny?
It's never too late.
It is at the end of the end of your days.
Oh, yeah, well, at the end of your days, yeah. But
until
the only person that knows what you're capable of and not capable of is you. And I agree with that. Don't let anybody steal your dream. If you have a dream, go for it. If you, I don't want to sound cliche, but yeah, if you can dream it, you can do it.
You are exactly right. Because people, all right, we're going to break the taboo subject just for a moment. There was an old adage years ago that anybody could grow up to be president if they wanted it bad enough. Well, our current president-elect just proved that. He had a dream. He's been dreaming this dream since the 1990s. So, yes, if you have a dream, ladies and gentlemen, and this man now is almost 70 years old, but if you have a dream, everything that you do in your life should be geared toward the realization of that dream. Right, Kenny?
That is correct.
And no matter what the naysayers do, and surround yourself, and I know you do that, Kenny, you surround yourself with people that help you achieve that dream, right?
That's correct. Most of the naysayers are just people who had a dream of their own and they didn't believe that they could do it, so they try to instill into other people that trying to pursue your dream is a lost cause, which is something that's really terrible to do to another person, to make them feel like their ambitions are just garbage.
You have
an ambition,
right,
no matter how bizarre it is, go for it.
Because if you don't, ladies and gentlemen, trust me when I tell you this, if you don't try, you have failed. Believe me, if you do not try, no matter what it takes, if you do not put forth the effort to make that dream real, you have failed. Now, if you try and that dream, for whatever reason, doesn't pan out like you wanted it to, you didn't fail. You succeeded because you attempted it. And if you go for that dream and you find out it's really not something that you want to do, just like Kenny said, you take another path, but you didn't fail at it. Am I correct?
That's right. You didn't fail because by doing it, even if you didn't succeed that time, you learned what you did wrong, and you can fix that. So in no way is that a failure. It's more of a chance to improve.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, we are getting towards the end of our show, and before we run out of time, I want to quickly say that December the 21st, fabulous, fabulous, famous, best-selling, award-winning author David Morrell. You do not want to miss that show. December the 7th, author Dana Davis. December the 8th, my friend in all things debatable, radio host Floyd Potts. We'll see what's on the agenda with him. December the 9th, CPS activist Jim Black. You do not want to miss that if you're fighting CPS. December the 10th, author Therese Hessong. Kenny, thank you so much, my friend, for spending an hour with me tonight. I appreciate you doing that more than you will ever know.
Oh, thank you for having me on, taking the chance with me here. It was a pleasure speaking with you. I enjoyed it.
Well, you're quite welcome. Hang on until the show ends because I want to tell you a few things once we go into archives. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Yvonne Mason. This is Off the Chain, and my guest tonight was comedian Kenny D. Eckenberg. Check him out on YouTube. Check him out on Facebook. Hook up with him. Help the boy out. Let him make you laugh because laughter is balm for a weary, tired soul. So until we will not have a show tomorrow night, that show canceled. So until next Wednesday, December the 7th, my author, Dana Davis, you don't want to miss that show either because she's a riot. So until then, I am going to say be kind, be loving, take care of yourself, live your dream, and know that tomorrow the sun will rise. So until next Wednesday night, this is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and be good to you. Good night. Okay, we are now in the archived part of the show because the live show is gone. What I wanted to tell you is when I hang up with you, the show will go up into archives. and then I will put the link on my page and I'll tag you in it. But I'm also going to download the show and put it up on all the different podcasts I have, and it will show up on iTunes, YouTube, on Stitcher, on Spreaker, on TuneIn Radio, on FM.com, on podcast, on podcast.com, on Mixcloud and SoundCloud, and let's see, where else does it show up? It shows up a bunch of different places. So when I put the podcast up, when I load them up, I'm going to put the link on my page, and I will tag you in it. And my gift to you is you take that and you blast it out everywhere so that everybody knows you are on my show. And let's get you some people for your YouTube channel and get you recognized out there. And then sometime after the first of the year, I'm going to bring you back and see how you've grown.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, are you still nervous?
No, I'm not. I had a good time.
I did too.
I should have mentioned it earlier, but I'm actually... This has actually been getting to be a busy time for me, because when I mentioned I was going to be on your show, I have a lot of other friends across the nation, in Canada and other places. They were like, "Oh, you need to be on my podcast. You need to be on my podcast." So I've been getting
Wonderful.
Some of those scheduled.
Wonderful.
So it's definitely good to have that little bit of extra exposure. And I appreciate this opportunity.
I am so proud of you. That is fantastic, Kenny. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for you. Soon, definitely now, after the first of the year, probably March, April, I'll bring you back and we'll talk about all the shows you've been on and how you've grown.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
yeah,
sweetheart.
It was nice talking to you. I have some other people that would probably be interesting for you to have. I think you may have connected with one of my friends on Facebook. Her name's Bree Warder.
Yes.
She's an aspiring actress and screenwriter, and she's definitely a good person to talk to.
Well, absolutely.
Then,
tell her to contact me, and we'll set up a show.
And then David Jones, you had him on a while back ago. He was one of my close friends from high school. So it was good to see him on here and getting his name out there.
Absolutely. See, this is how this works. I just pay it forward. So let me get off of here, get this in archives, get it to you, and send Bree to me. Tell her to contact me. We'll set up a show, and then I'll look at my book and get you set to come back on, because I want to hear. You got to get on all those podcasts that those people are asking you to come on. So set up those dates and get on them, and send me a link so I can promote it for you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, dear, and until we talk, I will say good evening.
Thank you.
You're
a good
welcome.
Evening, and I know I heard it's not really your thing, but have a happy holiday season.
Thank you, sweetheart. You too.
All right, thank you. Have a great night.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.